want to look out into our community and see all of our community shouting the praise of Jesus' name. God, we pray that this morning, that through our relationships, through our connections, that we will be shining your light. We'll show our devotion to you will shine through in all that we do, in all that we say, so that others will see you and you will be glorified. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, band. What an awesome time of worship. Well, good morning, church. It's great to see you all this morning. Thanks, Matt. All right, how's everyone doing? Great, good, yeah. That is good. Well, that is great, actually. last year at 6.0, we did a series on our cultural values, the dream, and we called it Dare to Dream. And the challenge for our youth and also us as leaders was, do you dare to live the life that God has created you to live? A life that is devotional, relational, equipping, anointed, and missional. And each week we unpack those five values and what it means for us. And I imagine the question is the same for us today. No matter what stage of life we are in, do you dare to dream? But I want to add to it this morning, in case you feel as if your days of daring have passed. Or maybe the idea of daring is a bit daunting. That's a lot of D's. So let's have a look at it this way. As believers and as Christians, are we living out the dream? You know, for many here, we've already made the decision to dare to dream by making the commitment to follow Jesus. So what does it mean to be living the dream when it comes to being relational? So that's what we're looking at today, the R. The R in the dream is for relational. So being relational means having healthy relationships and seeing growth in the church. So let's unpack these points. Healthy relationships, what does that look like? You know, I have this picture, and if you can picture in your mind as well, of a plant. It's one of those indoor plants, beautiful viney ones that sort of just creep along, and if you place things in the right spots, it'll, you know, cover the wall maybe and just look really pretty. I have one similar at home. It's doing okay. But what defines a healthy plant? If you picture it in your mind right now, I imagine all the vines, all the pieces of it are green and luscious. My plant at home every now and then comes out with a little yellow leaf. There's this one particular strand that comes out and there's yellow leaves, and so I don't know if it's the right thing, but I pull them off and, you know, chuck them outside, and hopefully that plant's going to get healthy again. If there's one strand in that vine that's producing yellow leaves, is that a healthy plant? The rest of it looks great. There's green leaves, it's growing nice and long, it's nearly touching the floor. But if there's that one vine that's yellow, it's probably not a healthy plant, is it? There's something wrong somewhere along the lines. So we're going to look at some scripture this morning, the vine and the branches from John 15. So if you have your Bible, I encourage you to get it out and turn to it. It will be up on the screen as well. John 15 verses 1 to 8 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And if we jump down to verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Based on this scripture, we learn that healthy relationships come from three things: being connected to the vine, producing fruit, and producing lasting fruit. Being connected to the vine, we read in verse 4 and verse 7. This is our relationship with God, with Jesus. Sharon covered this last week in looking at being devotional. To remain in him and be devotional, we must be devoted to the teaching, learning everything you can, devoted to fellowship, actively involved in the life of the church, devoted to the breaking of bread, which is hospitality and meeting together, and devoted to prayer, which is conversation to God. With God, I should say. So if we look at producing fruit in verse 8, this is for the benefit of others, the things that we produce. What is the fruit that we produce? Well, it's in the Bible. There are lots of things that we can take that to mean. The fruit of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, serving, fulfilling the call, the Great Commission. The list goes on of what the fruit of our lives is: to love one another. All of these things done with intentionality and the right heart motive will benefit others. Producing fruit from our lives is about benefiting others. And lasting fruit in verse 16. Wisdom in relationships. Verse 16 says, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Or in some other versions it says, fruit that will remain. Fruit that will remain. Just as you remain in him, remain connected. If we're producing fruit, that could be others in your life that you bring to know God, that you bring into church, that you share God with them. And how do we, we need to make sure that those that we're bringing in, those that we're sharing with, that fruit is going to last, they're going to remain in him. It's great to invite people to church. It's great to include people in things and to share the love of God with them. We need to make sure that we're actually investing in that so that fruit lasts, those people, those connections remain connected. So we do this through fruitful relationships. It's not about being best friends with everyone. It's about knowing your boundaries, knowing where you will be most beneficial, and having the wisdom to know where to spend the time and energy to produce that lasting fruit. And for those who are like myself, thinking, I just don't know if I have time to fit in more relationships into my week and how can I spend more time with people, I believe it's less about the amount of time that you spend with people and more about how people feel when they spend time with you, how you leave them feeling. Whether you spend a few hours with someone, a few minutes, or even just a passing moment, it's possible to leave each person feeling the same way, feeling seen, valued, and loved. In order to get the lasting fruit, we need healthy relationships, which means setting boundaries, knowing who is in each circle. So there's a diagram of our personal relationship circles. So we have, it's a bit hard to see, but the bottom is me and God. You can't get any closer than that. God knows us. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything we do. So that's our closest circle. Then we have the close hug circle. And for those who aren't touchy-feely, that's just a name. It doesn't mean you actually have to hug people. But our close hug circle is our family and closest friends, the ones that we share our deepest thoughts, our hurts, our every moment with. Then we have our hug circle, which is friends and our church family. It may be broader than that for some. We have our handshake circle, which could be our work colleagues, classmates, and acquaintances. And I understand for some, people might fit into different, into multiple groups, but that's, you know, it's up to you. This is just a guide, I guess, to get a good visual on it. Then we have the wave circle, which are people we're familiar with. Being in a small town, that might be a pretty big circle. You know, people that you know or know of, say g'day, and that's about the extent of the relationship. And then the smile and nod circle, the strangers. You know, we can still leave a lasting impact on someone just by smiling and a hello. Now, I know this isn't rocket science, but it does help just to put that visual on relationships. And this is the same diagram we used at 6.0 last year when talking about our relationships. You know, it's okay to set the boundary and to help you decide where your time and where your energy should go. And it's different for everyone. So I'm not about to say that, you know, you should spend X amount of hours with this circle, or that, you know, more time should be spent at this end of the scale than that end of the scale. For each of us, it's going to be different, and that's for you to work out. But it is important to think about if my relationships maybe aren't quite in that healthy fruit-producing state, why? You know, think back to that plant with the different vines. You know, if you have if you have six vines on a plant and five of them are luscious and green and there's that one yellow, which one might be that yellow one that maybe needs cultivating or looking at? So it's important to think about if my relationships aren't in that healthy state, why and what do I need to do to change it? Where am I going to be the most fruitful and making the necessary changes to be fruitful? So looking at this diagram and thinking back, well, we just did, thought back to that healthy plant analogy, I think many of us can say that we have healthy branches in the family and close friends circle, which is great. That's such an important part of our lives. But let's think for a moment again about the vine and the branches. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. If we think about the vine being the church, and we look at the church and not just Dream Builders Smithton, but the body of Christ, you know, in our community and across the nation, sure, we're not growing. There are branches being cut off and thrown into the fire because there is no fruit growing there. And there are a lot of reasons for this, but I believe that we each have a part to play. There's a graph that I'll get, yep, just here. So this is from the Australian Bureau of Statistics from 2021 census. And the findings that they had regarding the religious affiliation showed that Christianity is the most common religion in Australia, with over 40%, 43.9% to be specific, identifying as Christian. This has reduced from over 52.1% in 2016 and reduced even further from 61.1% in 2011. That's nearly 10% every 5 years. If it continues on this same trajectory, we will be down to 30% in 2026, just 3 years away. And for those that prefer numbers over percentages, the ABS gave us that, which is great. 43% of the population in 2021 was 11.1 million. In 2016, 52.1% of the population was 12.2 million. This means that in that five-year period, 1.1 million people walked away from the faith. Yes, there may be a number that also passed away. We know that there's the ageing population probably took up a number of some of those statistics, and I don't have that age breakdown of the stats. But the fact is that there was no growth. even if all of those people had passed away, where were the new commitments? So why is there no growth? What is happening? Why isn't the church growing? You know, that's a pretty sobering thought, 1.1 million in 5 years. I can't even picture what 1.1 million people looks like. So we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 2. We read in Acts 2:47 that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So if we jump back a few verses, what was happening that resulted in the numbers growing daily? So we did look at this verse, I think it was last year or the year before, and Sharon looked at it last week as well. But if we start Acts 2 verse 42 to 47, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So as I mentioned, that verse 42 Sharon covered last week in devotional. Verse 43 says, many wonders and signs. You know, where does that come from? Well, we know that it's the Holy Spirit at work. We see many wonders and signs when the Holy Spirit moves through his church. Our theme for this year is Come Holy Spirit, and we're believing for that move of the Spirit. We have seen it. We have some testimonies earlier this year of what God is doing, and we're going to see more. Yeah. Well, I hope you agree, church. You know, I hear Matt and Sharon agreeing, which is great, but, you know, we're going to see more of the Holy Spirit move, aren't we, church? Yes. Okay. Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Everything in common translated into the Greek is hapanta koina. Hapanta meaning all together, absolutely all and everyone. And koina meaning common, i.e. shared by all or several. So meaning everyone shared everything together. Verse 45, they gave to anyone who had need. So flowing on from verse 44 into 45, everyone sharing meant that it didn't matter if it was yours, if it was mine, we brought it together. Where there was a need, we made sure that that need was covered. Verse 46, they continued to meet, broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You know, it wasn't out of obligation. It wasn't because the preacher on Sunday had suggested that they need to share in more lunches after church. You know, their relationship with God, their connection to the vine was reflected throughout all their relationships so that their heart motive was sincere. The meaning of the word glad, or in some versions it says gladness, isn't just happiness or feeling pleasant. I was quite surprised by this. It actually means wild joy. Wild joy, ecstatic delight, exultation, exhilaration. Let's just look back at that again. So verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with wild joy, ecstatic delight, exultation and exhilaration. How often do we feel this way when we're sharing with one another? Like wild joy. I mean, I know sometimes when I'm with probably some of my family, to be honest, and we just get the laughs and the giggles and, you know, it just goes on and on. But, you know, wild joy. How often are we feeling wild joy when we meet together? You know, I got a little bit excited about that, but then I also thought, oh, I felt a bit challenged. So I was like, maybe I'm not meeting with glad and sincere hearts. If my time together, like I enjoy it, we have wonderful time together, but am I feeling that wild joy and exhilaration and wanting to jump up and down and, you know, high five people all the time? Oh, anyway. And verse 47, I think this flows through. Verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people, giving glory, thanks and honour to God, because without him they wouldn't have been there in fellowship and enjoying and appreciating that they were what they were all able to share. So the people, so the church, the early church in Acts chapter 2, they were devotional. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone shared what they had and gave to those in need. There was wild joy when they met together. They were celebrating God and his goodness in their lives. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, I'm not saying that I don't think we're supporting each other here enough. Please hear my heart. It's not that. But if there aren't signs of growth in the church, the whole church, you know, not just Dream Builders, not just Smithton, not just Tassie, but nationally and across the globe, we need to look at what we're doing and ask ourselves, are we really living the dream? In terms of our relational values here at Dream Builders, are we sharing with our wider church body? Do we celebrate and experience wild joy and ecstatic delight when we meet together? When we hear of good news stories coming from around our church community and beyond, are we experiencing that wild joy? You know, how great to hear testimony this morning, and, you know, it really does just warm your heart to hear and know that. You know, and actually thought of another thing which kind of ties in with that. I was speaking with someone from another church recently, and they said, oh, I think they go to Montague Church, but they'd gone to the Anglican Church that day because they were connected with some of the youth at 24/7 youth, and there were three young people being baptized at the Anglican Church. And so I was like, how amazing, like we need to celebrate that. You know, I was just like, oh, I wish I had have known, like I probably would have gone along too. Just, you know, I don't personally have that connection with the kids, but how great to celebrate those moments together, you know. Oh, sorry. You know, the health of our relationships within our smaller circles can impact the broader ones. Remember, the whole plant needs to be healthy. So let's make sure that our actions are matching our words. Whether it be with our family, our close friends, our church family, our work colleagues, schoolmates or passerbys, we need to make sure that every vine is healthy. 1 John 3 verse 16 to 19 says, "We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters, specifically our church. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person?" Verse 18, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God." If Jesus hadn't had close relationships, meaningful friendships, his disciples, would there have been a church after his death and resurrection? If the church is in decline across the nation, what are we going to do about it? And more specifically, what will you do about it? We each have a responsibility and a part to play in living out the relational dream of our faith. We have a responsibility to ensure that we have healthy relationships in each of the circles, but especially in our church family. It's not for the older ones to say, "I've done my time, I'll sit back." And it's not for the younger ones to say, "I don't know, I was never taught that," or "it's someone else's job." We are each responsible for ensuring our actions and how we live on earth reflect what we say and what we believe. Sorry, what we say we believe. Galatians 6 verse 7 to 10, "A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." There's that lasting fruit again. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." If I can have the band come back up. As I start to close, you know, all parts of the dream are interdependent. This isn't a five-step process. You know, once I get the devotional, check that box, work on my relational, check that box. It's a cycle that flows all at once. Our devotion flows through and is the heart behind our relationships, the equipping and anointing and our mission. And being relational is integral to forming that lasting relationship with God that flows through equipping ourselves and equipping others. You know, over the coming weeks, we will hear more on being a church that is equipping, anointed and missional, and gain a greater understanding of how they are woven together to form the dream that we are committed to living out. So a question for you, church. If you've made the commitment to love God and follow Him, living your life for Him, no matter how long ago that was, are you still living the dream? Are you seeing the Lord add to our numbers daily in the church family? What needs to happen to do this? Is it a change in your devotional life from the message last week? Or maybe it's time to check how healthy your relationships are. Are your relational vines producing the lasting fruit that is required of you? Yeah, that's a real challenge. And that's a challenge for myself as well. I'm not just saying I certainly don't know what it looks like and how to get that right. But that is what makes it even more important that we join together as a church family, because it's together that we cultivate that vine. It's together that we strengthen, that we produce lasting fruit. It's not one person who builds a church, who creates that church family. It's the family, it's the body coming together. You know, and that's why, you know, things like SHAPE are so important. Coming together, recognizing the gifts that we each have, the role that we each need to play in the church. And that's where we're going to see the growth of the church. That's where we're going to see our community. You know, all the earth will shout your praise. That's when we're going to see it happen, when the church body comes together. So church, I invite you to stand and I'm going to pray and we hand back to the band. Lord God, we stand before you this morning as your church family. We recognize your great love for us and your desire for relationship with us. We pray that through living out the relational lives that you've called us to, that we might bear fruit that lasts, fruit that impacts all of those around us for your glory. Help us to foster healthy relationships that honour you, and help us to not just speak of our love for you and our love for one another, but live it out in our actions as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.